something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
We're back, and we debriefed JR's Stomp the Stigma golf tournament.
Jono was on Letterkenny.
Plus, Henry, pipe down, bud. And the top five back-to-school jams. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Ooh.
What the? That was a break and a half.
What's going on here? Holy moly.
What the heck?
We were... It's like you're in some coma and just gone.
I think I nodded off there for a few weeks. I mean, on the downside, we've been a little sluggish with the pods. On the upside, this was the best summer of my life.
Yeah. Right?
I don't even know where to start. There's been so much summer.
Yeah, well, first time you've had an August off in how long? 10 years?
Well, 8 years, yeah. Ever since the girls were born.
Crazy.
So August has been wide open summer. And kind of like fun, different work things, but mostly summer things.
Yeah.
So should we start at the end and work back, or should we start at the start and work forward?
Let's start at the start, I guess.
Okay.
Because where were we last? I think probably last off we left, we did the golf tournament, and you came.
And see, there's another... a prime example of something I was able to do this August that I couldn't do for the last few years.
Yes. And it was another huge success.
Man.
It was a great time.
It was unbelievable, and it was great to see you in your element. If you're a new bud and you're starting at the end and working backwards, Jeremy does a golf tournament every year with the help of Ian Leggett, who's a golf pro, and just a sweetheart of a man named Bob Travis, whose son Kyle took his own life. Is it 4 years ago now, Jer?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, this, I was fortunate enough to be in Bob's group for this golf tournament, and imagine what a day that is for him. So hard and so uplifting and so devastating, but so powerful. I mean, it was for anyone who attended, but especially imagine being a parent or family member of this kid. And as you know, Jer, by all accounts, Kyle was a happy guy, lots of friends, going to university, just literally had an off night and made a rash decision that changed everyone's lives in his universe. You would like to think, I don't know if you can hear the beeping, bud. We're in Foxborough at a campground, and this, I've looked them up before, so I know it's a $1 million motor coach is just backing out of the site next to us, and it sounds an Air Canada Dreamliner getting backed up.
Okay.
There he goes. So this was my first time going, and kudos to you guys, man, because it's wonderful to see all of the people in the Travis's immediate universe get behind this. Like, lots of friends of Kyle's volunteer at a number of the holes. Yeah. But the thing that I found especially moving, and I find this of pride parades, too. With a pride parade, for example, when young people are there waving flags and having fun, that's awesome to see. When... an older person or a corporate institution that's known for being pretty straight-laced sees the big picture benefit of being associated with something like this, I just find that incredibly moving. So to BMO and Under Armour and Titleist and all those big corporate brands, because you can imagine, and Bob was saying this, the word suicide is terrifying to a lot of corporations, and therein lies the problem.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point of what we've been trying to do from day one, is just kind of get people together, have a positive, fun day, but also open the dialogue of suicide. And everybody has a story. And that's basically what happens. We kind of spend 10 hours together and just kind of communicate on this level. But we're also having a good time and enjoying ourselves. And it just, every year it gets stronger and the connection gets stronger. And the people from all walks of life and all walks of corporate life that can help and aid in something like suicide prevention and have it be on the list of priorities because, for example, men between the age of 40 and 50 die by suicide, and I think it's one of the top five rates for males.
Isn't that shocking?
It's an awful statistic, and people just basically, I mean, when somebody takes their own life, it's the people around them that need that support as much, and the understanding as the person that did it prior to that. You know, that the being able to talk to someone and listen to their problems and trying to get somebody off that path. But if it happens, the family and the people and their friends, they need help too. And that's basically what this whole tournament is about, is just getting together. Not everybody has a clear answer, but we're all these people are getting together every year, and we're getting closer to have it at least, like you said, have people say suicide without it being something that gets swept under the carpet, you know?
Well, and even, I mean, the number of folks that showed up was incredibly powerful. Losing a loved one sucks, full stop. Losing a loved one who's your kid or young or had their whole lives ahead of them sucks doubly. Now imagine, which I can't even, but imagine the added layer of, I could have done something. I'm sure I could have prevented it. The if only layer, if only I'd called, mm-hmm. if only I'd said, come over here instead of going out tonight, if only I'd whatever. How do you ever get through that? And I think after spending the day with Bob, he would tell you you don't, but
yeah.
At least you talk about your son and honor his memory and try to help others who are in a similar headspace not make the same choice. And you'd like to think if anything like that ever happened to you, you would have the strength of character to dig deep enough to soldier on like that. But man, kudos to the Travis family, because they have to go through the memories and remember it every year. And I can't imagine your tendency, you would think, would be to disappear and turtle and never talk about him again, or move far away, or just kind of remove yourself from the situation. But they did what you would hope you would do, which is try to get something good to come out of something bad.
And that's exactly what it is. And it's getting better every year. And this will propel people to not just talk about these situations, talk about where these depression and people suffering from anxiety issues or have a chemical imbalance that basically makes them feel sad for no apparent reason.
Well, and Corey Hirsch, I thought, gave a great keynote speech. You might know his name, Bots. He was a goalie for the Canucks, right? And he was talking about having won the Stanley Cup and having won the silver medal in the Olympics. And he was on top of the Empire State Building in New York with his mom. And all he could think about was wanting to jump. And she couldn't understand. And it was simply because he wasn't on the medication that he needed to be on. And ever since, his life has turned around.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think... I mean, I know when I was a little kid, I thought medication was something that you got when you're in like a house or a mental institution or something, you know, and something that would make you appear more what people would think is normal in society. Someone who needs medication are the ones that are taken out of society in a way. And that's how things kind of were as a kid. So if you ever heard about somebody taking their own life, the family would completely dismiss the idea of it being depression, or they wouldn't even talk about it at all. And that's where the stigma has kind of built itself for centuries, of people for some reason thinking having a mental problem, an issue, that being something where you're almost written off. Now it can be a discussion of where we can go in the future and keep it open and not sweep it away or call it something it's medication no different than if somebody has acne or if somebody, you know, needs glasses and they have glasses. You know, it's something that does not have to have any kind of stigma. And I mean, me personally having to thinking that medication would have been like something that a person as a kid that needed really a lot of help. I thought that, and I got over that and actually went to my doctor and talked about those things, and now I'm on medication and I do have a better understanding of how life works from that. And I do believe it was an imbalance that needed to be corrected.
Interesting.
It's the same thing with my family. You know, my father always suffered with some kind of manic, heavy-duty depression that would set him off. And my sister, Jenny, same thing. She even attempted to take her own life. And she actually was so down and depressed that she went to a last resort of trying ayahuasca. You know, that the medicine, ancient, I think it's Peruvian.
Wow.
But she went there and she did a ceremony, and usually you go down there and you take this little cup of this horrible tasting stuff, and apparently what it does is it induces not even feeling, it makes you experience birth and death the same thing. So either or. Wow. I guess it's the same experience. And it's full of fear, and she said it was like being backed into a corner with everything that you're afraid of coming at you at once. And it was terrifying and awful, and then you purge and barf for like 4 hours. And then she said it was the worst experience of her life, but she felt that she needed to be healed. And it's the rawest form and purest form of medicine. It actually is, it does kind of reboot the serotonin levels in your brain in some way, where my sister didn't just do two, didn't just do three ceremonies, didn't just do four, didn't just do five, didn't just do six, didn't just do seven. She did it 8 times.
Holy cow.
And she hated every single one except for the 7th time, which she felt was almost a gorgeous experience. And the leader who took them through this said, like, she was only taking a third of what the other people were taking, yet she was purging, throwing up twice as much as they were.
Whoa.
And he says, and she believes, that that's all the baggage and terrible memories and thoughts, because she says while this happens you're just absolutely inundated with memories like it's happening of your youth and growing up, all these different things. It's so vivid and it's exact and it's all the most terrible things that you suppress memories from birth, even, you know, like from. So she just went through all this awful stuff, but by the end of it, it was those feelings and those memories meant nothing anymore. They didn't bother her. They don't hurt her. They don't make her feel sad. She's actually so happy that she can't believe it. I talked to her on the phone, and she's like elated. I'm like, who are you?
So she did this recently?
Yeah, she did it last month, like 3 weeks ago. So, I mean, it's interesting that she was at her kind of on her the last straw. Like, she was like, if this doesn't work, then thanks, but no thanks, I'm out.
Wow.
And she's like, she's completely changed. Like, it's in talking to her, she's full of joy to the point where I can't even believe it. So I'm just looking forward to spending the rest of, you know, our lives, you know, getting to know each other and all the great stuff that comes with that, you know.
It's very typically bad of you to talk about. In your case specifically, was there a moment where you were like, you know what, I don't care, I need to get on meds, or has doing this golf tournament kind of changed your attitude towards it as well, or how did you end up making that decision?
Well, I mean, I think when you get to your 40s, you start to realize or maybe understand what has happened to you, what life is. You start to get perspective of how other people's lives are, how other people grow up, and you start to realize how different maybe your life was than everything else that you thought was normal. You know, for me, there's a lot of things that were not the same, and I think just kind of realizing that and getting to where I am now, it just kind of makes me, it made me feel like I think I might not have it as together as I thought I did, you know. And I, truth be told, that was the case when I spoke to my doctor. So, I mean, it was experimental thing where I was constant conversation over a year or two.
Yeah.
And trying a couple of little different things here and there, and that's how it has to be. It has to be some kind of an open dialogue with your doctor that has an understanding of how things work, and not necessarily just someone who's going to pound medication down your throat. You know, it's a very sensitive issue, and when you make decisions like this, it can be good and bad. But for me, it's still important to keep trying and trying to see if there's a resolution, as opposed to accepting that there's not.
It kind of breaks your heart how resilient kids are, doesn't it? Because kids don't feel sorry for themselves typically, or you know, wish they had it better generally. I remember when my dad died, the only thing I found really hard about it was people looking at me with the sad eyes, like, "Aw, you poor thing." And I didn't like people judging my life, because it was my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's funny how your childhood is just your childhood until someday you're telling people about your childhood.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah. And actually, the "wait, what" part, and then the finding the medium, or everybody has their own kind of different path, right? But you have to look at the other perspective to understand where you came from, or else you're just going to be going through the wormhole.
Well, and what you have to try to remember is the worst thing, like the bar for the worst thing that happened to you as a kid might be very different than the bar for the worst thing that happened to someone else, but that still occupies a legitimate amount of real estate in that person's development, right? If the worst thing that happened to somebody was your neighbor, who you're pretty good friends with, moved away when you were 12, then that's still in your mind, that's still awful and still maybe shaped who you are as an adult. It doesn't compare to, you know, your parents were killed in a car crash.
Yeah.
But it's still an awful thing that happened to you, and, you know, deserves the same amount of weight.
Well, I think the other thing is, like, people from all walks of life, all of our heroes have come from the most terrible beginnings and made it through. So that my point is, no matter how bad you thought it was, might be worse than you think it was sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you think something was okay and it's not, but sometimes you think it wasn't okay and it actually is, because you have to let it go and move on from that.
I'm such an optimist that when I was a kid and my dad died and people would say, "I'm sorry to hear that," I would say, "What? No, it's great," because I wouldn't be as independent as I am if that hadn't happened. And while that's true, it took me a long time into my adulthood to allow myself the pause where you go, "Yeah, it wasn't awesome, but still, you know, I'm happy with where I am, and I guess that's part of my story." You can also be too far the other end and too optimistic and too upbeat about things. You still need to feel them. Let them hit you.
Totally. Yeah, and I think it's also just these kind of communication conversations that people have with each other just need to kind of happen, I think, a little bit more. And that communication where people think it's taboo to talk about your inner feelings is kind of silly, because your inner feelings are the most important feelings that you have.
Well, and this is the only thing I know for sure, having never found myself in a place like that. If committing suicide feels like the best option to you in any given moment, I can't imagine how heavy that is and how dark a place that is. Like, it's presumably not a decision anyone ever makes lightly. So if by any chance any bots listening, you're in a bad place, send us an email, man. Don't do anything drastic. Talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it's not what the day was about, but there was some spectacular Canadianity at Stomp the Stigma this year. Should we take a break and talk about it on the other side?
Sure.
Don't go away, bot.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Hello.
Just to make it a little more fun, can I be Andrea asking you about people that I saw at Stomp the Stigma?
Totally. That'd be great.
Okay.
I'd love that. So,
and maybe you're Laramie. You are like serving wine on the 11th tee.
Okay.
Laramie.
All right.
Remember that golf tournament last Tuesday?
How could I forget, Andrea?
Well, there were some heavy hitters there, wasn't there? Like, didn't I see that Life is a Highway guy? What's his name again?
That was Tom Cochran. Yeah, he was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
And then that friggin' pecker from, what's it called? The Tragically's Hip?
Yeah, Paul Langlois. He was here, too. One of my heroes, wasn't he? Damon Allen was there, man. Did you see that?
Who's that? Is that the fellow from Sleep Country Canada?
No, the football star.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
I thought he was the fellow from the Don't Buy a Mattress Anywhere Else.
Did you see the Michael Landsberg?
Yeah, I did. He's that fellow from TSN. Plus, that guy that used to have the mustache was there, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, Rod Black.
Yeah, and also there were two girls from TSN. They sometimes do the sports centers together.
Yeah, Natasha was there, and Tessa was there.
Was it Tessa, or was it the other one who's really good at golfing?
Which one's that?
Oh, really no. wait for it. What's her name? You know, she's right good at sports and that. No, it wasn't Kara Wagland. It was, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, I know.
Should we come back to her?
Yeah, we should.
And who is the guy from the, there's the power trio, they're rock players?
Oh, yeah, Alex Lifeson was there. He's fantastic.
Yeah, but
I asked him to
also
play
there's
on
another
the new
one.
Ranch. What's that?
There was another power trio guy there, drummer, wasn't he?
There was a couple great drummers there.
One there from Triumphs.
Oh, Gilmore, he was there. And also Tim Oxford was there.
From the Arkelst?
Yeah.
Wasn't it from TSN, wasn't it Laura Diakon?
That's right,
that's
it.
Right, the one, the Tessa Bonham lookalike, wasn't it?
That's right, sorry.
Also, that fellow from Sportsnet showed up for dinner. What's his name again?
That Ken Reed guy.
He was there. Also,
and
the
his brother,
comedian,
his brother
yeah?
Peter Anthony, yeah.
He's straight handsome, there. That one.
Sure he is. He's got some good jokes, too.
He's from Pictou County.
Yeah.
Who was that it? That's about it, right?
I think yeah.
Friggin', what's Jay's partner's name? On the Jay and...
Oh, yeah, the Dan O'Toole was there.
Toolsy was there.
Can't forget about that.
Man, yeah. he might be he having came a to better a, summer than us.
He slept at my place after that. We had a great night. Yeah, we hit the deck afterwards at my place.
And watched Balloonst.
Watched Balloonst.
It was a Canadianity. It was a who's who.
It really was. It was awesome. I mean, it was busy, but super fun.
Oh, Mike Camilleri was there.
Yes.
Luke Gazdick
was
there.
Luke Gazdick, yeah. There's so many. And the thing is, it keeps growing every year, and the people that come have such a great time. they bring bods, you know.
So the ask gets easier every year.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's such a great time. That, I mean, the gifts were spectacular again this year. Everybody got like brand new Titleist golf bags, like tour bags.
Well, that's what crazy. I was going to say. I was mortified by the swag.
The Under Armour, everybody got full swag of Under Armour. Everybody got two dozen Pro V golf balls.
It was unreal. Like,
insane. Food and drinks all over the place. You just can't not enjoy yourself on the golf course on that day. It's fantastic.
No, it was great. I was so happy to meet Luke Gazdik because he obviously used to be an Oiler, and he's known for having big mitts and being able to throw them. But he could not have been more of a gentleman.
Yeah.
Interested and interesting and a great conversationalist and fun to be around. What a nice dude.
Yeah, and he always makes the point of saying, listen, man, whenever you want, I'm here, and always will support this event. And he's a great dude, super great. And Cam's, too, I got to say. Mike Camilleri's a pod. He's such a sweet guy, too.
Yeah, he is a really nice dude.
Yeah,
same thing. I'm always pleasantly surprised when you meet people of a certain profile who are like, by the way, what's going on with you? Are you still doing this? What's new with you? Because not everybody does that.
Yeah.
And the more I'm around people that talk a lot, the more I think I should talk less, because this is what it sounds like when people talk a lot.
I know. And the other thing is that all the members that I've played with over the years there, so great. The people that are actually at Summit, they're some of the sweetest members I've ever met. The men and women that work there, the staff too, like incredible staff.
Unbelievable.
Probably one of the best staffs I've ever seen in a golf course.
Well, so, Ian fantastic. Leggett, starting with him, he is just a doll.
Uh-huh.
What a sincere, kind, deep, thoughtful dude.
He cares big time, for sure. Yep.
And who's the manager? She's a bud. Is it Sarah?
I know. Oh, see, now you've got me again.
Aw, dang.
Oh, now I feel bad. I'm pretty sure it's Sarah, but if it's not, I'm super sorry, but she's super nice and I love her.
She's totally a bud, and we're going to send her some merch.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we're going to fill up the pro shop.
On the subject of golf, Brooke Henderson won yesterday.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
First time for a female to win in 45 years.
Wait
Canadian
a sec.
Women's Open.
Oh my gosh.
That's
heavy duty.
I knew
that it was 1973 when a Canadian woman won last, but I was like, 45, oh my gosh, that is 45 years ago.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So she's going to keep on going and winning and winning. She's going to take golf to that level that Mike Weir took it in the 2000s, that she's kind of the next. And she's actually to golf, she's more like Tiger Woods in terms of how dominant she is. Then, I mean, Mike Weir was fantastic and incredible in winning the Masters like that. He's never gonna not be a legend in this country. But Brooke is just her dominance in the field is really, it's crazy. The fact that she's just a kid still. And she's already,
she also just seems right nice.
She does, yeah. Smith Falls. That's where they got the big pot plant there, Andrea.
Gway.
I saw Snoop Dogg was there a couple days ago doing a free concert.
Well, I saw Peter Anthony was there.
Really?
Yeah, is that because, do they grow dope or what is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the biggest, I guess the big, one of the big contracts is in Smith Falls, and it's this massive plant that builds big pot plants.
It's a dopery.
And clearly they're using Snoop's strain, one of his strains. Imagine how much money he's making.
Oh, man.
Ain't no tariffs on that, is there?
Oh, man. So, moving on from what was a wonderful day, Stomp the Stigma, and I hope to be included again next year. Wouldn't miss it. It's a great day and super important. It just, like I said, you left with your arms full of swag, which was shocking and not expected, but more than
arms and your trunk of your car. Like the amount of stuff is ridiculous, and
it's ridiculous.
So cool.
And by the way, we played Headbands, the board game, on the drive down to Foxborough, and we used the there was an inflatable, like a t-
tire pump, used that on Indy's bike. Because he had the first aid kit, all the stuff.
Yeah, the just in case bag for the back, for your trunk, for all the needs. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a shocking amount. So, in the last week, we went camping in PEI, which was awesome. Uh-huh. We weren't there for too long. We were just there overnight, but had a great time and had to get back to Halifax because I was going to Sudbury to work on Letterkenny.
Wowzers. How about that? Tell everybody everything about it.
Well, I can't tell
I mean, like the experience and just the bodness of the bods.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. I worked on a show called Call Me Fitz a few years ago with Jason Priestley, and he set the tone. And the tone gets set at the top, and there is a history in our business of it being kind of militaristic structure, and the camera operator isn't nice to the first assistant camera, and the first assistant camera kind of poos on the second. There is a change afoot, just generationally, which makes sense, that kids nowadays aren't down with the being treated like garbage, which is great, and as it should be. Especially in a comedy set, you want to keep it light and make sure everybody's having fun, but you still have a lot of work to do. Kudos to Jared Kiso and Jacob Tierney and Kara Halfledson, who is a producer of the show. They have created an environment where there are no dicks. Everybody is happy to be there, friendly, professional, having fun, but the work still gets done. And that is the exception, not the rule. We are lucky enough to have that on Mr. D, too. But it just makes visiting somewhere, like you're jumping on a moving sidewalk. They've been doing this together for 4 years, and to drop in there for a couple of days and feel not only welcome, but feel like you contributed and feel like people are happy to have you there and feel part of something, just speaks volumes to the level of bodism going on there.
I got to say that I got a text from Jared saying how happy he was to have you there and how you impacted the place. And
oh, nice.
The bodism, yes. He said it was fantastic. But
oh, nice.
He also said that beautiful tweet in the same regard. So
yeah, he sure did. And
yeah,
and he's just such a kind soul and humble. And I don't know if it's because... I'm sure it's a combination. I'm sure his background, you know, his dad owns a sawmill and he worked with his hands and worked hard and, you know, knows the value of hard work. I'm sure that benefits him in his life. I know that he was acting for a while before things really happened for him and has held some other jobs that probably weren't what he'd imagined for himself. I'm sure that stuff all helps. But I think the proof in the pudding with Jared is that this hasn't changed him. And that shows depth of character, too.
Big time.
So I know it's a cliche to say people that work together on something like that are a family. I'm sure you had a tour family as well. But they are so close and so connected. And what a deep bench as far as a cast goes. Holy cow. And it just so happened that the episode I was doing, I got to do a scene with the Hicks, with the hockey players, with the Skids, with Glenn, who is Jacob Tierney's character. And Jacob and I first worked together on Mr. D a bunch of years ago, and he's just a phenomenal director, takes what you brought with you and just cranks it up a little bit to make it extra good and fast and funny. And they're just firing on all cylinders, man. I'm really happy for them. Because Hollywood Reporter gave a glowing review of that show, and Rolling Stone gave it a glowing review.
Yeah.
So I think... I mean, only the first two seasons are on Hulu so far, but I think we can't even begin to imagine the stratosphere that show is going to be catapulted into.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's all you have to do is look at the traction in Canada, how it ramped.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the tour that they did. You don't just go and start doing 2,000... You know,
no kidding.
Person theaters 2 times a day, every day and any day that you want. Like, that just doesn't happen. So to know that the depth is, the grassroots depth is crazy. So how's that not going to happen?
You know, crazy.
I mean, it's the same thing with Trailer Park Boys. They understood Once you get it, and the fact that it's so original and not like anything else, it connects a lot harder. And that, I think that's the same thing will happen.
Well, and that's bigger. That's the thing with comedy. Like, when you try to be all things to all people, it stops being anything to anyone. And a show like Letterkenny, people are going to be such rabid fans of. It's not for everybody, but the people that it's for will feel like they have found their religion. And there's so much dialogue and so many jokes per minute that it has the thing the Trailer Park had, which is people will watch one episode and then they'll watch it again three more times and they'll catch something different every time they watch.
Well, the other thing that Jacob was smart to kind of incorporate as the show is there's so many different types of person. They're kind of all covered, you know, big different time. Walks. So that's, it's hard to not watch it without relating to somebody in it, which is very smart.
And it's also fearless. Like, Tanis is a character played by Dio, who is a phenomenal actor. They don't pussyfoot around the fact that she's a First Nations person. She's a badass, and she's flawed, mm-hmm. and she's tough, and she's hot, and she's awesome. Mm-hmm. So to represent people the way they actually are, as opposed to throw them in a scene as a token or whatever, that is very representative of that part of Canada. And it's fearless in that way. It's great.
Right on, brother.
There you go, bud. So what have you been up to?
I went to Pembroke.
What were you doing in the Brook?
Lisa's mom, going to see Shirley and Belle, her beau. So we were hanging out in Pembroke for a week, doing a little wandering, going to the parks, Stand By Me walks.
So walk me through Pembroke. What is it like? How many people live there? Is it on a lake?
It was a huge logging town, Pembroke. It's a huge hockey town because they have the Lumber Kings.
Is that the name of the hockey team?
Yeah.
What league would they be in?
I believe they're OHL or... you blow me up all the time with these things.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know why you would know the answer to this.
They're awesome. I know they're always in the mix. Yep. Bottom line...
they're in the mix. I'm not
sure if they're junior A, B, OHL, freaking Don Cherry League. but anyway, Pembroke's an amazing town that kind of, there's a lot of great musicians that are there too, like Corey Zadorozny from Sam Roberts, the original drummer there, his brother Jordan from Blinker the Star.
No way.
He's still got his studio there. There's a lot of cool recording and
Henry, pipe down, bud.
It's a beautiful spot in the Ottawa Valley.
I'm going to tell you about the Pembroke Lumber Kings, bud.
Yeah, you give it to me straight.
They are the winningest team in Central Canada Hockey League history, and 2011 CHL. Royal Bank Cup champs.
There you go. Gotcha. All set.
Founded in 1964, anyway, they're in the Stevie Y division.
Junior. I know Pembroke more from Lisa's perspective, but I haven't been to a Lumber Kings game, but I bet you it's a time. I was more of a Barry Colts kid.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
All I remember is the Timmins team coming down to play the Charlottetown Islanders, and that was like, if you're sitting in the stands, you better hope a CCM stick doesn't poke your eye out, because things are getting hurled around.
Well, I do like the Aurora Tigers. They're local now. They're a junior A team. And the actually Dart guy is their scout.
And you went with John Derringer to a game, remember?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, awesome. On the subject of hockey, today's the first day of the Truro Bearcats training camp. And my friend James Faulkner, who's 6'9", does the play-by-play. And I was like, when are you going to invite me out? And he's like, just tell me when you're coming. I'll get a second headset. No, I was like, that's the only thing standing in the way of me being the color guy on the Truro Bearcats broadcasts? A second headset? I'll go down to the source and buy one.
That would be awesome. I want to see that. We should do that.
James Faulkner is coming out to our show, as are a bunch of the folks from Big Dog and Cat Country in Truro. Mm-hmm. James Faulkner is, as I mentioned, 6'9". He's not a heavy set gentleman by any means. He does the news on Cat Country and Big Dog, and he does play-by-play for the Truro Bearcats. He's like the busiest person on the planet Earth, and you will love him.
He's like, what's the guy who's at the... Or hosts all those shows, or not anymore.
Mario Lopez?
No, the what the hell is it? He originally was an American Idol guy.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the Ryan Seacrest of Truro.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Dare to Dream.
Or the best was the Steve Harvey of Truro.
All Steve Harvey does is repeat what the person said with some backspin on it.
Yeah, but he's
answer a question, Jer, and I'll do what Steve Harvey does. Name something that someone would put on when they get out of the shower.
Frank Sinatra.
He said Frank Sinatra. That's it. That's the joke. No. And then he's silent with his eyebrows pulled tight, and then he smiles. That's it. He said Frank Sinatra. I went to Steve Harvey camp. Let's take a break, bud. Are we going to do top five back to school jams?
Yeah, we are.
I'm skinny, pop, pop.
No.
This episode of Tech and Tons is brought to you in part by Chipotle. Chipotle, chips and quick, tacos, and enchiladas. We'll be right back.
This bus stop. This bus stop's kind of chilly this morning, but first day of school, though.
Shut up, Tyler. Probably don't even know who you have for chem.
So? Who cares?
I do.
Who do you have?
Everybody knows who they have now, teacher-wise. You don't even know. Stupid.
I don't even care. Why do you gotta fight about it?
I'm not fighting about it, you stupid idiot.
Holy moly! Just trying to go to school. First day of school, I already starting with the bullies.
Guess what I did all summer?
Jeez. What?
Perfected my comedic voices. I was working on my comedy. Play any song on your Walkman.
Hear a new joke. Tell me a joke.
Play any song on your Walkman and I'll show you the voice that I can do.
Okay. I got this.
What's the matter with the clothes around? Can't you tell that my ties too wide?
Alvin and the Chipmunks, bro.
Let's get yourself a ride. Blow sneakers cause you're gonna cross the miracle mile.
That's not even Alvin, bro. That's Theodore.
That's not even funny at all. That's comedy?
Oh, really? The Chipmunks aren't funny?
Little sound funny, but it's still rock and roll to me. Aw, Dove.
You tell me, Dove isn't funny, bro?
That's making me want to throw up. It's so cringy.
What about this one? You ready?
Don't do that.
Bobble. Bobble.
What?
Bobble!
Remember Bobby, bro?
You know that guy who hosts
How We Do It? He used to be in a show called St. Elsewhere, and he did this hilarious thing where he put a glove over his head, and he talked like, Bobble! Everybody who knows anything about comedy knows it, bro. It was the funniest thing ever.
Just because you talk about something that happened like Wikipedia with a guy who maybe has a history of comedy, you don't have to do it. That's not comedy.
You know what's the funniest thing ever,
talking
bro?
Talking about...
Listen to this. What? You ready? Wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown's teacher, bro.
I'm turning up my Walkman. So stupid.
Do you know what that is? It's high concept. That's if Charlie Brown's teacher was doing karaoke with Billy Joel.
You know what? Now I know why your parents named you Driddle. Kind of name is Driddle anyway.
It's Driddle. Very meaningful in our family. My grandfather's name was Dribble. Dribble or Drizzle?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Driddle with a D.
Here comes kinda the bus, bro. Driddle. Don't you dare sit next to me.
Promise. Promise.
Bobble. Oh, those.
Oh, man, that guy.
I hate that guy. You know that guy who's... took one comedy workshop from 2 to 4 one afternoon in the summer and is like, I got this. Answer this question, Jeremy Taggart.
What?
A guy that my wife used to work with, who was quite fond of and good buddies with,
said that dance is the key to social popularity. Do you think it's more currency in high school to be a good dancer or to be funny? Henry, pipe down.
Bob. Humor, 100%. Humor all day long.
So if you are not a good-looking person, but you are hilarious, you can still pull?
Yeah. Well, pull, I don't know if you mean pulling, but...
I don't know why I used the word pull. Does that mean you can still wheel?
All of a sudden, you're talking like you play on the Rangers. What? So you're trying to say like you're, how many kills you got before you're 12?
Oh. Takedowns? So you're saying that the kid who's funny would have more takedowns than the kid who can
trying
dance?
Trying to say the kid can tell a couple jokes got way more kills than the guy.
Is that hockey player top kills?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Terrible.
How many takedowns? Henry, get a job, bud. All right, so this is the top five back to school jams. That was two dudes at the bus stop. I'll be in this one. I'll be a teacher, and I didn't know that you were in my class, and I'm really disappointed to hear it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, you ready?
And I'm listening to music. Yeah.
I'm listening to music in the classroom as I'm getting ready. I'm really happy. Ready?
I am, or you are?
I am. I'm the teacher.
Oh, you are. Oh, the okay, perfect. All right. Okay, here we go.
First day back to school. Can't wait to see my class. I've hit a gander at the class list. No names that stick out as being rather difficult. Should be able to cruise until June when the year's over. Wait a second, come to think of it, in Australia, is the year over in June? Or is it just starting in June? In any event, here's hoping I don't have Benjamin in my class, because that would ruin things.
Oh no! Look who
Benjamin,
it is!
Benjamin? What on earth are you doing here?
Hey, Mr. Garrett! I got Mr. Garrett!
No, you don't! I look at the class list.
Yes, I do!
You had Miss Brown!
Yes. Nope! They said they changed. They said you're Mr. Garrett's class!
Benjamin, you're that American exchange student? I was pretty sure that you had Miss Brown. Why would Principal Penry die this to my?
Well, who else is going to teach our political science class?
Benjamin, since you're here early for once, and it's just the time of this, let's have a conversation, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
What can I do to guarantee that you won't cause a problem in my class?
Well, you know, I'm a bit, you know, that's how I am, though. That's how I do, you know.
Just, here's what I'd like to work on this coming year, Benjamin. When you have a reaction or a reflex to talk, just don't. It's that simple, just don't. Suppress the urge to talk.
Mr. Garrett, you got, like, some pretty cool, like, you got, like, a setup in here. There's, like, these... broken, you like the model that model over there, like, is that like the Japanese nuclear plant that was blown up? Is that it's full scale? What is that about? It says radiation or what?
No, those are tiny beads, baby beads that are burning. And I use those as a model so that everyone in the class can understand the battle that Mother Nature is facing.
Yeah, man. And what's that climate change chart about, man?
Hey, it's just a lighthearted look at the fact that the planet is melting. I like to jike around as much as the next guy. So it's what? Like, while we are having a jike, at the same time, we are perishing from the moment we're born. So, it's funny.
How come it's so... Why don't you move back to Australia? They need some help, man. It's, like, really dry. It's supposed to be, like... Forget about the burning bears. How about the no raining?
I can't tell if you're joking. Are you? Is that a joke? Is it a joke? Is it a joke? Is it a joke? Is it a sometimes joke? Five different pronunciations of joke. Is it a joke? Is it a joke? Is it a joke? Is it a joke? Is it a joke?
I just see Peter Garrett sitting there talking to this guy in class trying to straighten him out.
We are posted up beside the bocce ball court and a dog just snapped off a number two and Henry's losing it.
Oh, really? The bocce ball? So is there some folks rolling a game or what?
Oh, a dog just was using it as a restroom. But this nice. Park is legit. There's four pools. There's a bocce ball. There's a lodge. They play chocolate bar bingo. There's a dance tomorrow night. There's country line dancing and wood sign painting tonight. It's legit.
I love it. Good times.
All right.
That's full on. You're plugged in. You're okay. Let's get to the next one.
Jam number three. So how about I'll be a girl and you be a guy. And we're seeing each other for the first time since the summer. And you're hoping it's on, but I changed.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that happened to me for real once.
Tell the story, bud.
I didn't really care because I was like fake date or, you know, first girlfriend styles in like grade four or something. Like, oh, we started dating the week before school ended and she was like, got her friend to tell me that it was over.
Because she wanted to pull. Like,
whatever.
She wanted to pull all summer?
Well, I mean, she made it apparent that it was like, not only was it over like now, like Labor Day, it was over like in June, I guess, like July or whatever. But we never even like hung out together.
One of the most savage terms I know of is the turkey dump. How couples in grade 12 agree to stay together when they go to separate universities, and then they come home at Thanksgiving and dump each other.
Oh my God.
We're going to stay together forever. Yeah, it's only 4 years. Turkey dump.
2 weeks later.
Okay, so you're coming up to me. Your name's Connor.
And your name is Wendy.
What is it?
Okay. Wendy?
Wendy? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Wendy.
Oh.
How
hey,
are
Connor.
You? Well, so, nice to see you, eh? Like, do you want to do something tonight, or?
You know what? I'll catch up with you girls later. I'm glad to see you because I've been wanting to talk to you for a while.
What's the matter?
What gave you the impression anything was the matter?
Well, you look pretty upset and like we were going steady and the last day of school. Remember?
Okay, there's no easy way to say this. You know how I was saving myself for you?
Oh no. Is that why you're playing Only the Good Die Young?
Well, I gave my B card to a girl that I met at summer camp.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
Well, so that's it, eh?
Well, if it's any consolation, her name is Miranda, and if you squint, she kind of looks like you.
Well, I don't know what to think.
Well, I'll make it easy for you. Don't think anything, because nothing's ever going to happen again. Miranda lives upstate, but she's coming down here at Thanksgiving, and we're probably going to do it again.
So are we, like, together till Thanksgiving, or...?
I super appreciate you being, like, willing to, like, work with me on this, but I guess the easiest thing I can say is that, like, when Miranda holds me, I feel safe.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas when you hold me, I don't know if you're squeezing too hard, but it makes you gaseous.
Okay, so I just won't hold you so hard. I'll ease up.
Well, is it a dietary thing?
Am I gurgling?
Well, do you know, when at my hospital, stomach gurgles? There's a test where you can drink a liter of barium, and they can shove a camera in your rectum and just see what's going on up there, because I don't know if it's hereditary or if it's just the odd time, but it's not good, Connor. And I think it might come between and finding that special someone.
I mean, yeah. I mean, everybody said, like, if they put their ear to my belly, it sounds apocalyptic.
Well, it sounds like... Have you ever seen, like, a motocross track?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Like, all we're trying to watch Netflix and chill, and, like, I have my hand on your stomach, whatever, and all I can hear is, nee. It's weird.
And someone once said that sounds like there's, like, a squid from the Marianas Trench, like, making the squishing sound and going around, that kind of loud.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, Henry, please, I urge you to stop barking. Like,
the squishing sound and the pops, and it's like, sounds like Pompeii, man.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like a stand-up bass at soundcheck, like,
yeah, and then there's like that one sound that it sounds like if you're pouring out like one of those, you know, sitting around the water cooler things and then pour it out, that big bubbling sound when you pour it out, like that sound too.
Like kind of a dub dub boish.
Like a gluck 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 gluck. That too. Like when you're in the airport and there's like a guy next to you and he's like doesn't care about anything. You just
nice. Or it's like if you dropped an Alka-Seltzer in a swimming pool and it was just like
yeah.
And do you know
like
what I mean?
If you're like it's almost it's like if you had like your ear under like a blanket and then like a bunch of firecrackers underneath that and then lit them off. That's like there's popping and cracking.
Or do you know like how, what is the Def Leppard song that starts with that's what your stomach sounds like. And all I ever hear from Miranda's balloon knot is like a that's the most I would ever hear, and it's so cute, you know?
And then sometimes it's like sounds like sometimes like the beginning of Hot for Teacher sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know how sometimes it sounds like if a concrete girder came off a freight liner and smashed into a million pieces? And then Kia Rondo hit it on the highway? It's like it sounds like that sometimes.
Can you just like put your head on my stomach and just like relax?
I mean, I can try. It's weird. It sounds like a serious hailstorm, but also a dog barking. Henry, pipe down, bud.
Take note.
What is that?
Oh, listen.
Did you just Google jalopy sound effects?
My stomach, man.
What actually is that sound effect? What is that? Is that a bonus track from Jarvis Church's last record?
Oh, listen, man.
No. Oh my gosh, this dog. What even is it?
It's Hot for Teacher, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. All I can hear is Big Rig moving and Henry barking.
Oh man, that's so funny because I just kept playing the beginning of Hot for Teacher.
I got it bad at the zoo, man. I'm happy. No, no,
remember that time we were in the truck driving, and the Odd for Teacher came on and it was super loud because when I plugged the phone in, and it comes under the stereo like your phone.
No.
The iTunes. All of a sudden, Hot for Teacher came on all super loud and the drums are going crazy.
When you were in the truck?
And you're like, what the fuck is that?
It's all right. It's so loud.
Yeah, you're like, what the hell's going on?
Panama will come in awful hot too.
No, but Hot for Teacher's Hot for Teacher can't be topped.
Oh yeah. Hey, before we go, by the way, we should tell the people about the new tour dates announced.
Yes.
Please buy tickets. Please come see us.
Yeah.
Bo's Oktoberfest, the 21st and 22nd of September. We're doing an East Coast rip the last week of September, starting in Yarmouth on September 25th. And then we're doing Windsor on my birthday, October 2nd, Toronto, October 3rd,
woo!
St. Catharines, October 4th. And just sliding into Thanksgiving weekend.
It's going to be a good rip.
Back on the Monday drops, bud.
Monday drops, buds.
Back to school, back on the Monday drops.
All right, bud.
Good chatting. Jonathan Torrin, CBC News, Foxborough. Boom, gong, gang, go, get, ding, gong, ju, bong, bong, so, dun, do, dang, dun, bong, bang, tick, a, dun, dow,